Welcome to the show, Ivy Nation Sports Talk, up rolling on a Monday. Vince D'Addario is right there. Sean Steyer's right here. Hope you're having a good day. We got, of course, some bad news today, and we're going to get to that here in just a minute. Vince has already done one show today. He is back officially from vacation. I guess officially you were back from vacation on Friday. You and Brian did a show on Friday, didn't you?
We did do a show on Friday because I got back late on Thursday, and so we did a mailbag on Friday. And, you know, of course, our show here, we have moved away from the Friday shows because we are officially in season now.
Right.
And I had completely forgotten about that. And so I was totally anticipating doing another show
on Friday.
Yes. Totally anticipating doing another show on Friday, but luckily I did not have to do that. So that was fantastic.
I mean, it'll only be what, like 3 more weeks or something like that. We'll basically do our countdown to kickoff. We'll start into that. And that kind of takes the place of the Friday shows. So
yes, because we record that and then we put it out and, you know, right, people can consume at their leisure for the countdown show and all of that. And yeah, so that'll be available to everybody Friday nights and they'll be ready to rock and roll.
Some quick bookkeeping. Andre asking if we're doing We In, We Out this week. The plan is yes, unless we get more breaking news and something happens on Thursday. The plan is for a Thursday We In, We Out. I was toying with doing it tomorrow, but because of the Charles Jagasaw news today, we're actually supposed to be able to talk with Joe Rudolph tomorrow. So assuming that goes through, we will have Joe Rudolph reaction to this news today and, you know, explanations maybe for, and we're going to get to see some practice and that kind of thing in the morning. So we'll definitely be talking about that on tomorrow's show, but look for some Joe Rudolph reaction again, assuming we still have that, you know, coming up after Tuesday's practice. And then Thursday, We In, We Out. I was toying with, and I'm still toying with, maybe moving We In, We Out to Tuesday. In, you know, like if we're still talking about, do we keep it around once the season starts? Is it just an off-season thing? You know, as we get into the season, things obviously change. So we're talking about a lot of different things right now.
Hey, we got
no definite answers.
We got to challenge everything. You know,
we're just
like Notre Dame football. We challenge everything.
Embrace, you know, hard. Right.
That's right. That's right. We got to win the interval. That's what we're going to try to do as we move forward here.
Yes.
So
Bubs is already coming in hot. This is a disaster, boy. He says. Were people as level-headed in the show earlier today?
I purposely turned off the chat because it started to go downhill.
Oh, boy.
And I get sucked into the chat and I stop paying attention to what's actually being said on the show.
Yeah.
And so I just shut the chat off and I was focused on what we were talking about.
A
lot of action. Let's put it that way. There was a lot of action in the show today. You know, we had lots and lots of viewers because it was very fresh today at 1 o'clock because it literally broke at the stroke of 1 o'clock. And we usually start the show about 1:05. And so that was obviously the topic of conversation when we first started. So, you know, look, it's not good news, obviously. I mean, there's nothing good about it.
I guess we should, you know, just to sort of, for anyone who wasn't listening or, you know, who's punching this show up right now, to make sure that we talk about the actual information that happened for anyone maybe who didn't know coming into the show. Charles Jagasaw, who was slated to be Notre Dame's left tackle this season, Notre Dame announced this afternoon that he had a shoulder/pectoral injury of the right side, and he is going to miss the entire season. Marty Auer, defensive guy, reserve, you know, still a walk-on. I would say one of the more important walk-ons potentially because of the depth in the secondary and, you know, just for the things that he does at practice. So that's not good news either, but obviously he tore his ACL, but starting left tackle, very important when you're already talking about replacing a top five NFL draft pick on that side of the line, as well as the tackle on the other side. So what do you think, Vince? Like, how dire is this as of right now, Monday afternoon, when the news is still relatively fresh?
I mean, it's not great news, obviously. This is not good news. This was a spot on the offensive line that was already spoken for. There was no competition there. It's going to be Charles Jagasaw. It's going to be his spot, right? And so that's not good. But you can be upset about it, but then you got to get back to the drawing board and figure out, okay, what's the solution, right? You know, right now they have or have, depending on how you look at it, they got a competition over a right tackle between two tackles, and who's going to win that spot. I think the obvious thing is you take one of those guys, you move them over to the left side. Now you've got your two tackles. I mean, that's the most obvious solution. Now there's some other solutions that you could obviously look at. You know, you've got Gerby Lambert who came in, who's a true freshman. You've got Anthony Knapp, who's sitting, you know, in the backup role at left tackle right now. But here,
and it's looked pretty solid so far from what we've been able to see.
And here's the thing that you also have to remember, though. Just because you're sitting as the second left tackle on the depth chart does not mean you're the next man in. I mean, that needs to be understood. Because right now, Anthony
Knapp, because there's got to be a two deep. It just, you know, and we've
right,
seen this
on paper.
We've seen this before right. Where the two deep says one thing, but if someone gets hurt in an actual game.
Correct.
That doesn't necessarily mean he's the second best
bingo
option for that spot. You just got to have someone to plug into the actual two deep, basically.
Correct. So I want to make
someone's got to get the majority, especially when it's reserved. All bets are off now. Now it's who's the best guy for the job.
Absolutely. Basically.
Who's the best fit for the right side? Who's the best fit for the left side? Is Emil Wagner the best fit for the left side just because he had moved to the top on the right side? I know he's played both sides before. Is Tosh Baker potentially, you know, the answer on the right side? Or where does, you know, Sullivan, Abshur, and Gerby Lambert, you mentioned that name, and Anthony Knapp as well. Where do they all fit into the picture?
Yeah, I mean, look, this occurred like the second day of being in full pads, basically. Or the first day of being in full pads, excuse me, because the day we were there, they were just in shells. And so they weren't even in full pads at the time. So it's very early on in fall camp. So we are in season, quote unquote, right? If this is going to happen in season, this is the best time for it to happen because you literally have a month to try to figure out who this guy is going to be. Now you want to figure it out sooner than that so that you can get reps and you can get all of the communication and everything down. But you've got some time to try out a few different guys and see kind of what situation is going to be the best. Is it going to be Emil Wagner? Emil Wagner's a little bit more athletic. He's a little bit longer, obviously, than Tosh Baker. It's one of the reasons he was kind of in the pole position for the right tackle spot. Is he more comfortable on the right side? So then you move Tosh over to the left side. Look, Emil Wagner has never played on the left side while at Notre Dame. Tosh Baker has, right? And so is that the easier move to move Tosh over to left tackle? I think you give both guys reps and you see what happens. Then you got the two young guys. You got Anthony Knapp. You got Gerby Lambert. Gerby Lambert is a better offensive lineman than Anthony Knapp. He's also 5 inches taller, right? Or 4.5 inches taller or whatever the exact amount is. And so I don't know that Anthony Knapp is physically ready to be a starting left tackle in major college football. I just don't know if that's the case. Gerby Lambert is more physically ready. Is he going to be mentally ready? That's a good question. Only Joe Rudolph and Marcus Freeman and Mike Denbrock are going to know the answer to that, right? And so I think this is a situation where you get everybody an opportunity at this point. The rubber will meet the road here pretty quickly, and you're going to go with the guy that gives you the best opportunity to win game one. Does that mean it's going to be the same guy to win game 13 or 14? No, not necessarily. But your goal right now is to get the guy, number one, that can get you to win game one. And then whoever the backup is the next best guy for that spot. And you start working both of them. You know what I mean? I think that's the order of operations right now. It's not just, well, Anthony Knapp's number two. We got to plug him in. Like, that's not exactly how you go about this. And so it's going to be interesting. And look, we're going to be there tomorrow morning. And so I'm hoping that they line up at some point as a first team offense. And so we can see at least not necessarily who's going to win the job because it's way too early to say that, but at least get an idea of where the thought process is. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in, baby. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Get in on all the excitement and win up to 100 times your cash with the summer games on Prize Picks. With Prize Picks, you could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA rack up the gold medals this summer. You can make Prize Picks lineups of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you're locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I recently won big with a 4-player stat projection. I picked LeBron James to go under 17.5 points in Team USA's first game of the tournament. I picked Stephen Curry to go under 2.5 three-pointers. I picked Kevin Durant to go over 13.5 points. And I threw in Dansby Swanson to have over half of an RBI. Bing, bang, boom, baby. That's a victory. It's just that easy. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Would you rework your practice schedule if you were them based on this happening and the fact that we're supposed to be there tomorrow? Does it matter, like, if we see who's taking the number one reps?
No.
At this point?
Because you can – I could make a case for 4 different guys to be in that spot. So,
no, exactly. And like, you know, we've seen the names tossed out. By the way, Andre, you might want to check your math. There's 26 days to go until Texas A&M, not 17.
Yeah, I was going to say, we are nowhere near A&M. That's at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. Yeah.
You got 3.5 weeks still, almost 4 weeks still, 26 days.
Yeah.
So you've got essentially 3 weeks of camp and then 1 week of game prep leading up. Yeah. So there's still a lot of, you know,
they got time.
It stinks when anyone has a season ending injury, you know, like you said, it at least becomes from a team standpoint, easier to deal with it. I think when it happens earlier in camp like this, because it does give you more time to move guys around and see who fits on the left, who fits on the right, who is best in tandem with the left guard, who's best in tandem with, you know, that whole thing. Cause that's going to be a big part. Like when you
absolutely
look at, you know, cause look, worst case is what happened in 2021, right? Like,
here's what I found.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Siri.
Siri's involved.
But you know, Blake Fisher, a freshman, gets hurt in the season opener.
First half. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're trying to figure it out as the season goes on. And we saw them trying to figure it out as the season goes on. They ran a lot of different guys in there. Hopefully,
4 different ones.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully it doesn't come to that. But, you know, again, at least they've got some time now.
Right.
They'd already been moving some guys around. But I think that you probably had 3 spots that were pretty definite. Ashton Craig at center, Charles Jagasaw at left tackle, and Billy Shrouth at right guard. Those were 3 pretty much set in stone as far as who your starters were going to be. And then the left guard and the right tackle were in flux a little bit. So this obviously throws a wrench into things because now,
sure,
you know, you've just got so much inexperience. Not that Charles Jagasaw was that much more.
Well, and that's a great
experience.
Point. That's a great point because on paper, he's got 1 start and it was a bowl game.
He looked good.
Right.
He looked good.
Oh, he earned
but
a spot.
But it's still 1 start still and a handful of snaps against Stanford. That's right.
Absolutely. And so, technically, you're going to be replacing him most likely with somebody who's got more starts under their belt than Charles Jagasaw did.
If it's Tosh Baker,
Tosh Baker. I mean, that's – so, yeah, again, that's on paper. Everybody wants Charles Jagasaw over anybody else that they would put there, and I totally understand that. And you are more than welcome to mourn the loss of the services of Charles Jagasaw for 2024. Totally legit. But this is still a game of football, and you still got to replace him. And so your thought process has to be, okay, I've taken my time for mourning. Now we've got to figure out how to fix this problem, right? How to fill this spot. Notre Dame has a bunch of high caliber recruits that are the backups. I mean, they just do. Do they have a lot of experience? No, but they do. I mean, they came in as very high heralded guys. Now it's your job to coach them up and get them where they need to be. That's the bottom line.
See, and here's a good question, because ND Sailor says, go with Tosh Baker at left tackle, Wagner at right tackle, based on his experience going into Texas A&M. I'm assuming he's meaning the experience of Tosh Baker, because, again, he's the only one of any of the options with any real experience. He's played a lot over the last few years. He says they have Knapp and Lambert ready in the meantime. And what you were saying, Vince, like what happens against Texas A&M might not necessarily be what happens for the rest of the season. How much would you lean on that experience going into a hostile road environment like that to open up the season? Like, would you essentially slide Tosh Baker over there to the left side, like for the next week, and say, is it working or not? And then move on if it's not, or, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like how much importance are you putting on the experience that Baker has relative to everybody else, because you're playing a road game to open things up?
Well, the first thing you have to figure out is who's going to be the right tackle. That's the number one thing. And then the guy who's not the right tackle gets first right of refusal at left tackle. I mean, that's how I see that. That would be my order of operations. You know what I mean? So
if Wagner is number one, you're moving Baker, but if it's the other way around, you're moving Wagner.
And we know that Emil Wagner is the number one right tackle right now, but would he be better at left tackle?
Right.
That's what they have to decide. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so that is the first decision. Okay. Who are we going to try at left, and who's the best fit at right? You know what I mean? Because look, Emil Wagner's more athletic and he's got better feet than Tosh Baker, period. And so maybe he's a better fit over on the left side from an attributes standpoint. Now, I still think that you give Tosh first right of refusal, so to speak, right? So, I mean, he gets an opportunity probably first, but I'm still going to give reps to all four guys on the left side.
Yeah, and I mean, comfort level, you know, because we've talked to plenty of offensive linemen before who have made that move, you know, right tackle to left tackle, and vice versa. Yeah. And it is a little bit like a right-hand batter trying to jump over and just all of a sudden start batting left-handed if you've never done it before. Because it's different muscle memory. It's a different different movement. You're making that drop with your left leg first as opposed to your right leg first. And it's a different kind of movement. Now, some guys are athletic enough, and that's one of the things that I think is one of Emil Wagner's assets, is probably a little bit more athleticism than some of the other candidates that you're moving in there. So maybe that could make him the better fit for the left side. But again, it's left tackle, and it is, you know, what everyone considers to be the most important position on the offensive line. So I don't think there's any easy answers, but again, this happened on Saturday, so they've already practiced today without any of us being there to see it. So they've already got at least a working idea of where they're going.
I think they had practiced yesterday as well. I believe they practiced on Sunday. I'm not 100%. Sure. I don't know if you have the schedule in front of you or not. But either way,
well, we only got the schedule for what we're allowed to see, I believe.
We got the whole thing. But it doesn't matter. I don't even know where to look for it. I've got it saved someplace.
I do as well. Let me see if I can find it. Right.
I've got it in here somewhere. I just don't know where it is. I think it was the original one. But anyway, the bottom line is they've at least had one practice where they've started to get this thing figured out. And to your question earlier about adjusting practice and things like that, because we're going to be there, I just never have been into the subterfuge of what some college coaches try to hide from the media and all that kind of stuff. Like, look, they put it out that he's hurt and that he's not going to be around for the rest of the year, right? It's out there. We're all going to be watching. You run practice the way you're always going to run practice. You have to run practice so that you can be effective with the way that you want to run practice, get everything accomplished that you want to get accomplished. You can't think about the fact that we're out there for five periods. You know what I mean? I would not in any way change what I want to do from a practice plan standpoint, because at the end of the day, I've got to have practice so that I can get my guys ready. And even more so, you're going to need reps on the offensive line right now. And the more, you know, team reps, and when I say team, I mean like five offensive linemen together, not necessarily with the rest of the team, but five offensive linemen together, working together, communicating together. The more reps I can have, the more film I can have so that I can go back and evaluate the three or four guys that I'm going to give a shot at left tackle, the better off we're going to be. Because the, you know, the more data you have, the more confident you can be that you're making the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got this feeling that, you know, again, we're probably not talking about game one, but I feel like this potentially opens the door.
Yeah.
For especially a guy like Kirby Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We already knew that there was a lot of talent and the size and everything else there. And with this happening, I think that there's a really good, I'm not saying it's going to happen at this point, but it sure opens a big door for the possibility that we could see him starting at some point this season.
Look, Brian made a good point this afternoon, and basically, you know, he said, if you're Marcus Freeman, you pull Joe Rudolph into your office and you're like, look, you got to get him ready. Like, you got to get Kirby Lambert ready. That is now one of your primary jobs as an offensive line coach at Notre Dame. You got a kid who just came in. He's 6'7", 320 pounds. He's got all the athletic ability in the world. Make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to get him ready, even if it's in
figure
a backup.
Figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out, man. Like, that is what you're getting paid to do.
Well, you know, look,
figure it out.
No, that's exactly right, because regardless of who ends up at number one, knock on wood, injuries exactly do still happen.
100%. Get them
ready. Someone's got to be the next guy, and that guy, whoever it happens to be, has got to be ready to step in and get the job done.
Yes.
So even, you know, and that includes, obviously, game one against Texas A&M. It's multiple guys are going to have to be ready to go. So
absolutely. Like I said, and when I say get him ready, I mean, is it starting? Is it as the primary backup? You know, get him ready. Get him ready, because you're probably going to see him at some point this season. You know, for whatever reason, there's a decent chance that you're going to see him. So,
well, because the other side of this, because we've talked about experience with Tosh Baker, and again, Emil Wagner has virtually no experience. You know, he's handful of reps basically so far. So, like, assuming he's the right tackle, it's not like there's a lot of experience there. I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second, but I guess my point is it's not optimal probably, you know, to go into a road game to open
sure
up a season with a freshman as one of your starting tackles, but it's not like it's uncharted territory, because again, they did it just 3 years ago with Blake Fisher when they went to Florida State that season before he got injured. I think the biggest thing is he the guy that's showing he's the best guy for the job? You know, they talk about consistency and all
sure
that kind of stuff all the time. Is he the guy who's the most consistent and the guy who shows that he can get the job done? And if he can do that, I wouldn't have any problem if he was the guy. I wouldn't start somebody ahead of him just because he's got a little bit more experience. If he shows that he's ready for the job.
Well, and the thing is, I think because of the unique situation that Notre Dame is in right now, there's really nobody with experience, right? I mean,
yeah, you've got the thing. Baker's literally the only one,
and that's only experience in the program. It's not even really experience starting. He's got a couple of starts under his belt, but it's not really a lot. So, if you're talking experience from a playing standpoint, it's pretty much an even field mm-hmm at this point. So I feel like you can just throw that out the window. Now, there will be a little bit of, hey, he's been in the program, he knows what we want, you know, that kind of experience. And okay, that's fine. But at the end of the day, these guys are all pretty much on the same path as far as what they've done on Saturdays in a Notre Dame uniform. they're all right there. They right. None of them have massive experience.
Yeah, and again, ND Sailor, like I'm not saying Gerby Landenberg is ready right now, but right now is also what if they practiced on Sunday, six practices into his college career, you know?
Right.
So what is he 12 more practices from now? Like, has he made considerable growth? And whether he was beaten by a walk-on or, you know, it's like, that's part of the learning process, right? It comes with moving from high school to college, whether it's a walk-on or RJ Oben or, you know, whoever it happens to be, because you're going up against men who have been in the program and, you know, lifting weights and physical and have something between the ears at the same time. You know, so I'm not saying that he's definitely ready right now. I'm just saying if he shows that he is ready to be the guy, then I wouldn't have reservations about putting him out there. If he's the guy who is performing the most consistently and showing that he can have the, you know, get the job done, then I'm not going to keep him out just because he's a freshman.
Agreed. Completely. Best man plays at this point. I mean, we're in a situation where y'all got to grow up. It's time. You know, whether it's Anthony Knapp, whether it's Gerby Lambert, whether it's Emil, who doesn't matter. It's time for everybody to grow up because Notre Dame needs a starter on an offense and on a team that is a national championship contending team. And making the playoff means you're in contention. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
In case anybody wants to read between the lines, I'm just saying they should make the playoff regardless of who their tackles are. And so who's going to step up and be a part of that? That's the question right now. And that's what they're going to have to figure out. And another point that was made this afternoon, which I think is a really good one, I think the left guard spot, that kind of hits fast forward now too, because you're going to want to figure out who your left guard is so that they can start communicating with whoever the left tackle is. I feel like that competition is going to end quicker than maybe it would have if Jagasaw was still in there. You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure. Because having Jagasaw over there gave you the luxury of being able to rotate guys in and out and experiment and all that different kind of stuff. But now, if you're auditioning the whole left side of the line at the same time, that's not a good place to be.
No, you want to have as much time with whoever going to be your starters as you possibly can from a communication standpoint and all of the above.
But I'm going to tell you though, that probably also means that it's going to be Pat Coogan starting off the season.
I get it.
Because of the consistency.
Terrible decision, but I get it.
Whatever Joe Rudolph felt about him
going
back to last year, he has been the more
consistent. Now we need that consistent guy. We need him. We need to have him in there. I know.
Well, would you rather have peaks and valleys and have your quarterback get flattened on the second play of the
season?
Depends
on how deep your valleys are. I don't know how deep the valleys are for Rocco right now.
Right.
He's a senior. His valleys shouldn't be that low. You know what I mean? And his peaks will definitely be higher than Pat Coogan's.
I know you're not a music man, Vince, but I felt like you were writing a song just then.
I mean, I like the musical, The Music Man. That was a good one. He's a what? He's a what? He's a music
man. Yeah, this is more about the opener to me, like, you know, where you would start the season with Pat Coogan. That doesn't necessarily mean that Rocco is going to get, you know, just kind of, you know, thrown away and become yesterday's news. But because of what you're talking about, it feels like Coogan kind of holds down that spot where there is less rotation there in the short term as they figure out who that left tackle is going to be. Because of all the things, the stability that you do need across the line. And if you're auditioning, you know, Spindler and whoever is to his left out there together at the same time, I don't know. I don't think that's a very desirable position to be in.
Yeah, there's so many question marks that need to be answered now, even more. Like, look, I think we can all agree offensive line was the position group we had the most questions about. Well, you can multiply that by about 10 now. So it's still by far the most questioned group on this team. And we're going to see who Joe Rudolph really is too. That's the other piece of this. Like, we were going to find out who Joe Rudolph was anyway this year, because most of these guys have been Joe Rudolph guys and been coached by him and, you know, that kind of thing. Now you're really going to find out, because he's got his work cut out for him to put together an offensive line that can match the talent around them.
Do you think having a quarterback like Riley Leonard. You know, it's not like he had a bunch of All-Americans in front of him at Duke. He had a solid offensive line, but not lights out. You know, I think the center was probably, or the guy that got drafted last year, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but I guess my point is the fact that you've got a guy like Riley Leonard, sure, who is going to be more mobile, you know, who can run and you can sort of design things,
yep,
one way or the other. Like, do you think that, well, that can help negate some of this, especially early in the season?
If I'm not mistaken, the LSU offensive line last year wasn't amazing. You know what I mean? Mike Denbrock did a good job of, you know, not putting the game on the back of the offensive line, right? You might have to do similar things. And the fact that you've got Riley Leonard, look, I still think to a man across the board, Notre Dame's got better offensive line men than Duke had, mm-hmm, last year. If you talk about recruiting rankings and, you know, all of those different things, Notre Dame's got a better offensive line, regardless of the fact that they don't have a whole lot of experience as a whole, right? And so they just have to play up to their potential. And some of them may have to get to their potential a little quicker than maybe they had to before this injury, right? And so I would still take Notre Dame's offensive line over Duke's offensive line last year. And I'm sure in a private moment, Riley Leonard would probably say the same thing. But your point that Riley Leonard being a mobile quarterback and maybe can get himself out of some trouble and some things of that nature, I think that absolutely helps the situation, as opposed to having somebody that's just a drop back pocket passer.
I've seen this come up, and I think Indy Saylor might have brought this up before. What do you think about this one? No, might need to use the tight end more on the left than planned.
I wouldn't be changing my offensive strategy because of one guy. I wouldn't do that. Look, you've got two good tight ends as long as they're healthy. Three, if you know, you got three really good tight ends, to be perfectly honest with you, they'll use them. But the last thing I want to see for this offense is a bunch of 12 and 13 personnel. That's not going to get it done. You're not going to be a dynamic offense if that's what you're
trying to do. So I think when you start attaching the tight end in specific situations, it's just going to tip that, yeah, you're probably going to be passing in that. So, you know, it shows that you're trying to, you know, pass protect,
right,
a little bit more in that. Now, if you're in a game and, you know, it becomes
like a max protect situation, okay, yeah, fine. But right. I'd rather have
that. I wouldn't go into that with as my main game plan, is what I'm saying.
100%.
You could do that every now and then, maybe.
Right. Because then you don't want to.
If it's an issue during the, you know, if it becomes an issue during that first game specifically, I think.
Yeah. And you don't want to tip your hand, you know, as to what you're doing, too. I mean, you want to be careful with that kind of stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be changing my offensive philosophy because of one injury, unless that one injury was a quarterback. And then you can't do certain things, but not because of a left tackle who has one career start under their
belt. But look, the bottom line now is, I think what you said just a minute ago, we're going to find out a lot about Joe Rudolph now.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, because he walked into a situation where he inherited two NFL tackles.
Yep.
And looked like he did a pretty good job of developing Charles Jagasaw to be the next guy on the left side. And if, you know, if Emil Wagner turns out to be the guy on the right side, he's done a pretty good job of developing him, mm-hmm, as well. But this is where you make your money now, because you're behind the eight ball. You've got to get this figured out 26 days. Yep. You've got to get it figured out in less than 26 days. Cause I don't think you really want this competition going into game week. You want to have this figured out.
Yeah.
Ideally within the next 2 weeks. And then you've got kind of that tail end part of camp, and then into game week, you're ready to go. You've got your guys, your five out there, your five best, yep, and you've got it figured out. But this is where he makes his money now.
Like, 100%.
This is it. This is it. It's where we find out.
Yeah, we've got three more practice viewings, and I guarantee you, we will not know what the outcome is. Yeah, by then, you know, just based on when they are, and we're not really allowed to say when and where and all that kind of stuff. But we've got three more viewings. And I would be shocked if anything was set in stone by that third viewing that we have. I'd be shocked. So it's going to take some time. And I don't want it to be an overnight decision, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm not saying they need to rush by any means.
Right. Either. I want them to give Gerby Lambert some time. I want to give Emil, mm-hmm, Wagner time. I want to give Tosh Baker time. Those would be my three major ones. And then if you've got time and you want to, you know, throw Anthony Knapp into the conversation, then fine. But those three are definitely getting first team reps for me over the next few days to see what they've got. Hey guys, here we go. Let's see where you're at, you know? And then once you figure out, okay, this guy can or this guy can't or whatever the case may be, then you start working specifically with the guys that can or the guy that can.
Right.
And then you tailor your offense and you're, you know, you coach them up and you get them ready. That's what you've got to do.
Mike says he thinks Lambert can be an excellent left tackle right away because he's that good. And now look, I'm not going to say he's not that good, but the problem with that line of thinking is you're basing everything on what you saw in the recruiting process.
Correct.
High school film and recruiting rankings. And I would just say, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Deion Colsey in rapid fire. People feel so strongly about Deion Colsey, largely because of everything that happened as a recruit, how highly he was rated as a recruit, all those different things. That's what I'm saying. Now, sure. Can Gurbi Lambert be that? Yes.
Maybe.
And like I said.
Maybe.
Yeah. Can he? Like, in theory, yes, that's why they got him, right? But
yep. Yeah.
He's got to actually show and prove that he can do it against actual men on the other side of the line of scrimmage. That's what he's got to show at this point. So I'm not going to say that he can be excellent, especially on the left side right away. Let's see him be good first because,
right.
You know, again, hopefully we get to see a few more snaps of him doing some stuff out there in these three practice availabilities that we get. But I'll be really curious to see what this looks like. Like if we get to see them line up, you know, first team, second team.
Yeah.
When we get out there again.
Absolutely. I would be shocked if we got to see a whole lot of team stuff, but you never know. And I guarantee you.
Oh, I just mean the way.
Oh, like just they, lining they, up for like drills
they,
and
the
stuff.
The way
like
they
that.
Take the offensive line over. Right. Yeah. I mean, they've still been working as a first team That's offensive true. Line, second team offensive line. So
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I
think there'll be a lot more cameras rolling tomorrow.
Gurbi Lambert,
if and when that happens,
is a really good talent. Nobody's debating that. He's got size. He's got talent. There's no debate there. But his timeline just got sped up because when Charles Jagasaw was the starting left tackle and you had a competition over at right tackle, he didn't have to be. He could just come in, learn, get better, take a red shirt, the whole deal. Things changed overnight, literally, for Gurbi mm-hmm. Lambert. Now, his development is in fast forward. It just is. Whether he becomes a starter or he becomes the initial backup, now his clock has spun up a little bit. Is that fair? Not necessarily, but that's kind of where we're at. And so,
look, it's an opportunity. Blake yeah, Fisher showed absolutely. He could do it. You yeah. know, Blake Fisher showed that he can do it now.
And eventually Joe Alt showed that he could do it after they right. went through three other tackles.
Right.
You know, but again,
and I think it took Joe Alt a little bit longer in part just because he was a tight end in high school and you know, he was like still learning the position a little bit, but it's an opportunity for Gurbi Lambert, whether it's first team reps or second team reps or whatever, he's going to get plenty of opportunities now to show himself and whether or not he can do it or not. So there's opportunities for all these guys.
Right. Exactly. That's the way you have to look at it. You right. have an opportunity.
Yep. Kyler says it has to be Lambert or Absher. Wagner is a bit undersized still, unless the agile skill set is what we're aiming for. I mean,
you got to get over the Wagner size thing like right. that. He's never at least
He's at least 300 pounds now. So it's right. not like he's a small guy. Anyway. He's at least 300 pounds. We haven't right. got the newly updated weights, but you can tell by looking at him. He's right in that 300 right. pound ballpark.
He's never going to be 320.
He's not tiny by any means.
He's never going to be that. Right. I mean, right. get over it. Like, let's stop with he can't put weight on. He's going to be fine. He was the starter at right tackle, period, end of discussion. That's where they were at. He got pretty much all of the right tackle reps with the first team that we've seen. He's the starting right tackle. So his weight must not have been that big of a deal when it comes to whether he was going to play or not. So that part we have to take down a notch. The other part we have to take down a notch, Selvin Absher has been practicing at guard this whole time, never at tackle. So now you're going to ask a kid with zero experience to switch positions midstream. Is it possible? Sure. But I don't think that's the ideal way to go about this either, to be perfectly honest with you. He was told, you're a guard. So he's been practicing at guard. There's a big difference between guard and tackle. So I would be surprised if Selvin Abscher gets any type of shot at this
point. No, but you're right about that. Now, but the other side of that is Jagasaw was playing some guard himself, like in camp and during the season last year, and he ended up being the tackle by the time the season was over with. So there's still
there's a lot of time though there. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I know. Yeah. But if we're talking, there's a difference between camp and the end of the season, obviously, and one week into camp and the start of the season. And again, I don't necessarily think that whoever gets this when the season starts is going to be the guy who finishes.
Yeah, that's the season definitely out. A possibility.
I think that it could. I think that it, depending on how that guy does, obviously. Right. But I think that if it is still shaky because you did essentially have to rush the process now because you weren't expecting to have to develop a left tackle coming into camp, you thought you had your guy ready to go. I just think that there could be some flux as it goes along.
Yeah.
Like you could see somebody take that spot. And the other part of that too is whoever it is going to be really tested in game one. Whereas games 2, 3, 4, 5, it's gonna like, they can kind of get their feet under them a little bit more, but your feet are just going to be held to the fire more in that season opener because of who you're playing and where you're playing the game.
Right. And look, they're also going to get really tested in practice because Notre Dame has one of the best defensive lines in the country. So that's also kind of a, you know, thrown into the fire kind of a situation. You know, they're going to be going up against some dudes, right? And so that will show every, you know, that will help show who can do it and who can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Josh is asking about Shrouth. I won't completely rule it out. I just feel like Shrouth is more a guard than he is a tackle. Like, do you feel the same way?
Well, and
it's not like it hadn't crossed my mind, because especially when you do have two other guys with a lot of experience who could fill those guard spots. I don't know. What do you think?
I would not move. He's already been solidified at right guard. He's a young guy. Why would you, like, you have to minimize as many dominoes as you possibly can with this kind of a situation. Just because something happened to one position doesn't mean you changed three others. You know what I mean? You've got to be careful with how many positions you're adjusting, essentially. So if you move Billy from right guard to right tackle, okay, so you're changing Billy. Well, now you're also changing Emil Wagner, because now he's going to go over to the left side, right? And then you're also changing either Pat Coogan or Rocco Spindler from left guard to right guard. So now that's three guys that you're changing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of change, and you want to try to minimize that as much as you possibly can.
I agree, because the offensive line has to be able, all five guys have to be able to work in unison. Like, if you had an injury at wide receiver, you just plug a wide receiver in, and this wide receiver is not dependent on this wide receiver for how he's going to function. But on the offensive line, it's essentially an accordion effect, and you know, really a domino effect when you start kind of laying it out the way you're laying it right there. Once you start shifting guys, I think you want as little movement as possible.
Exactly.